Richard, how are you?
I'm well, Colin. How are you?
I'm not too bad at all. How are you keeping?
Not so bad. Making our way through the winter. It stopped raining for a half hour.
You're very far away. Are you on a speakerphone or just... Yeah.
No, you're on a headset. Hang on, I'll pick you up directly.
Okay.
How's that? Is that any better?
That's a lot better. You're interested in this movie, Wolf of Wall Street, which actually opens tonight in all cinemas. You worked on Wall Street, did you?
I did, yeah. I started out working for a firm that was a direct offshoot of Stratton Oakmont and was actually led by a fellow called Mark Hanna, who was portrayed by Matthew McConaughey in the film.
Wow. So how did you get that job?
Quite literally by accident. I was a new arrived immigrant in New York, and I had a job with a tree care company where I had to drive a truck.
Mm.
And I wasn't good at driving on the right-hand side of the road, and I had two accidents in about 4 months or so.
Yeah.
So they basically fired me, and I needed a job with no driving involved. I saw an ad in a paper, stockbrokers wanted, big commissions, stars in the eyes kind of thing, and I said, well, I'll give that a try, and they waved dollars in front of me, and the rest was history kind of thing.
And did you go do the license where you actually had to get a license? Don't you have to do an exam or something?
Yes. The first license, your Series 7 license, it might have changed since, but back then it was called a Series 7. So I took that about 6 or 7 months after I'd been basically cold calling.
Right.
And I ended up staying in the business for about 9 years. I was only at that type of firm for two.
Yeah.
But, so the license is a big deal. They make a big fuss out of it. And one of the funny things in a firm like that was it was all sales. Mm. I mean, there was not a technical stock expert in the place. It was all about churning, raising money. And a pass on that Series 7 test was 70% or 70 points.
Yeah.
And if you got 70, you were thought to be perfect for the job. If you got 80, you were too smart for it. It was kind of, if you have to think about it, or if you think about what you're doing, you won't succeed.
Yeah. So are you standing on the floor, literally selling, buying, just and as the seconds go by, and you could be dealing in huge amount of money?
Not in a firm like that, no. No, that came later down the road. Basically, what you're doing there is you get a stack of cards from a credit rating agency. We used to use Dun & Bradstreet. And it would say, for example, Column Hayes, DJ, annual income, number of employees, so on like that. And I would call you up and I'd say, hey, Column, how are you? Richard Cullen from Harriman Group. Remember we spoke about 6 months? I told you to take a look at Kmart. Did you follow it? I bet you didn't. Well, you should have done because it went from 10 to 15. You could have made 50%, but I got a second opportunity for you here. And it just went on like that, and you just...
Sorry, Richard, I was about to buy there.
Sorry.
That was good.
Yeah, my license has expired, I'm afraid.
The
mantra was find their greed button and just lean on it. And it was greed on both sides, both on the part of the brokers and the investors, really. You would offer potentially huge rewards, massive risk, and it was basically the partners of the firm were the only ones who ever made out of it, except when they all went to jail.
The one thing about the movie is this work hard, play hard. I mean, it shows huge excesses of parties, cocaine use, fast cars, bribing people left, right and center. Was that the environment?
I remember, I think it was the day I went for the interview, and outside the building, this was about 1994, I would say, and outside a fairly nondescript office kind of building in Syosset on Long Island. And there was a Ferrari, red Ferrari parked, and it had the vanity number plate stock jock. And beside that, there was a yellow Lamborghini, there was a Porsche, there was a, Bentleys weren't really trendy then. But, the lineup of cars was just incredible outside this building. And when you went in, all the senior guys had the best tailored suits, cufflinks, everything sparkling gold. The funny thing was, in this particular firm, there was myself, there was a couple of Jewish guys, a couple of black guys, but basically everybody in there was of Italian extraction. It was like being on the set of a Scorsese film.
Wow.
And they were all, dressed like successful Italians might be dressed, loud suits and big ties. And, the sales assistants had the highest heels and the shortest skirts you ever saw in your life. It was, it was pretty incredible environment, yeah.
And
I wouldn't want to do it again, but I'm glad I did it once.
Was it party time all the time? Because these guys, in the movies, it's literally when they crack off work, it's straight down, bottles of champagne, the whole lot, every single day of the week.
Yeah, yeah. It was, a bunch of us would go to a restaurant, eat steaks, what have you, and instead of ordering a bottle of wine for the table, it was a bottle of wine per person kind of thing, and you stop short of drinking out of the bottle, but it was excessive. Fleets of limousines down to Atlantic City. We'll say dancing girls brought into the office from time to time, because it was almost entirely a male environment, with the exception of the sales assistants. There were very few, if any, women involved. And the sales assistants, well, they knew enough to turn a blind eye to that kind of stuff.
And I have to ask the question, did you make an absolute fortune?
No. No, you see, what happened was, and it's something, I haven't seen the film yet, there was a film a few years ago came out called Boiler Room, which portrayed the same kind of environment with, I think it was Giovanni Ribisi was in it, but the thing it never showed, and I don't know if The Wolf of Wall Street shows it, is when I went in as a cold caller, and I was paid $200 a week, and my job was basically to sit there at a telephone 5 days a week, as much as 12 hours a day, just calling people, trying to generate interest in the company and what we were selling. Then when I passed my test, now I was legally allowed to actually do the selling rather than just kind of, you know, be the warm-up.
Right.
And what happened was I opened what was called a whale. I was a huge investor, a local guy, household name. You know, it was, nobody could believe that I actually managed to open him up. And it seemed, at first it seemed good on paper, and this guy, I think the very first trade he did with me was $65,000.
Wow.
So based on a phone call, this guy sent me 65 grand.
Yeah.
And I thought, finally, you know, I'm broken out of this 200 a week. I can eat and pay the rent this month. This is going to be a good month. By the time the firm was done taking what they considered to be all my charges from my desk, my phone, my sales assistant, leads, everything else, I ended up taking home about $400 that week. And then they were of the opinion that I still owed them money.
Okay.
So it kind of got to the point where I challenged one of the partners, and he was a smallish kind of guy, and I'm 6'3" and what have you, and that wasn't taken very kindly, and I was escorted out of the building by a couple of very large Italians in suits with bulges under the jackets. I mean, there was armed guards in the building.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, it was a pretty scary environment in some instances. I saw people walk out of there in tears and never return, because it was
pressure.
An incredibly hard place to work.
And the guys at the very top, who have the corner offices on the top floor, what sort of money were they making?
Well, if you listen to them, and we don't know for sure, but if you listen to them, they would talk about, you know, making $250,000 a month.
Oh, my God.
There was, you know, when I went for interview, the whole thing was very carefully stage managed. So I was in the HR office, and the door was slightly ajar, and I'm talking to the guy, and this other fellow walks past the door, and the HR guy calls, "Hey, Joey, come in. This is Richie. He's going to be coming to work for us over here." And this guy, Joe, he was sort of a gruff looking, you know, a very nice suit, but gruff looking. Didn't look like he was born in the suit. And he said, "Joey, what did you do last year?" And Joey's like, "I was a truck driver." And he says, "And how much did you make?" "You know, I was making $12 an hour." "And how are you doing now?" He says, "Made about $12,000 this week already." You know, and this was the kind of, they just carrot on a stick, waving it in your face. And the board meetings, when these guys, I will say one thing, these guys were fantastic orators. And when they got up in front of the room and had board meetings, well, what they called board meetings, pep talks, you know, whatever, pep rallies.
Yeah.
And you would be practically jumping up and down on your, you know, fist bumping it, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to take this by storm, and it was, and they would say, they would call out of all the guys in the back row. It was one big open plan office. There were no corner offices. It was a single floor building. But they would call the guys in the back row, "How much did you make today? And how much did you make today? And what are you doing?" And, you know, that kind of thing. And everybody got up and they would say how much money they were making. And those of us who were the sort of cannon fodder, the front row, making 200 a week, this was our inspiration to keep doing, making 1,000 phone calls a day.
Fascinating stuff. So when you go and watch The Wolf of Wall Street, it'll be like, for you, it's like going to watch a documentary.
I hope so, yeah. I'm kind of looking forward to it, because I know some of the characters in there. Funnily enough, in my latter life over there, I ended up encountering a lot of the guys I used to work with, because I ended up back in the same part of New York. And a lot of done time. You know, some of them had been away for 18 months, some of them had been away for 4 or 5 years for stock fraud and wire fraud and all that kind of stuff. kind of thank my lucky stars that I got fired when I did, because otherwise I might have gone down the same road.
Fascinating stuff. Yeah. Listen, good talking to you, Richard. Thanks for the call.
You and too.
Enjoy the movie. Maybe
thanks,
you can give us,
I look forward to it.
Maybe we'll get it. If you see it over the weekend, we might get a proper review of it from you to see if it's for real, okay?
Yeah, I'll give you a shout next week.
Okay, appreciate that. Take care of yourself, Richard.
Thanks,
bye,
Colin.
Bye-bye.